we will deal with the more serious topics of the last 72 hours, and that has to deal with violence and homicide. It also has to deal with teen and young people misbehavior. It also has to deal with how many police should be on our streets. How do we fund crime prevention, real crime prevention, dealing with young people and young adults, not somebody getting some money so some executive can go eat wine and cheese somewhere. All that and more, but we begin with the violence that continues. Homicides in this city are up this year 35%. And one of the things people don't realize, between 1960 and 1990, the population of Indianapolis and Marion County stayed relatively stable at about 750 to 790,000 people. So the number of police officers, this was pre-merger, and sheriff's deputies was sufficient at that time to handle the people we had. But between 1990 and 2010, the population of this city grew by 103,000 people. Let me repeat that. 103,000 more people living in this city and county in the past 20 plus years. And the number of police officers, now that we have a combined police department, has gone down as the population increased, not by 5,000, not by 10,000, but over 100,000. So the arc, and we're losing 40 to 50 police officers a year through attrition, retirements, can't take it anymore, want to go off and do other things. And so that's what the battle is all about. The mayor this morning announced a plan where he's going to take 150 police officers. Allegedly, everybody thought they were coming off of desk, but we're finding out that many of them were already, Chris, on the street. The officers that were dealing with the homeless and the panhandlers won't anymore. They'll be on the streets looking for murderers and stuff. The community affairs school liaison officers, they're going back out on the street. The several officers that deal with youth gang violence will be out on the street instead of on the street dealing with youth gang violence. The neighborhood resource officers, those are the officers supposed to be doing community policing, ain't going to be doing that. They're going to be out there taking runs on patrol. Even two of the officers in media relations, this I got to see, because I've been asking for that for years. That's three or four officers that could be put on the street immediately. Oh, the POW Club officers, they're going back on the street. The patrolmen that were doing graphic design. We had patrolmen doing graphic design? Webmasters? You can get some college students from Ball State to do that. And recruit trainers, a field officer. Uh-oh. One, two, three, four. Five strategic intelligence officers are going to go back out on the street. That means they're not doing strategic intelligence. That means the bad guys will be doing all kinds of, anyway, so the mayor says he's putting 150 officers back on the street, and then he's going to hire and have recruit classes for another 100 over the next 2 years, but those officers won't hit the street until 2015 and 2016. Crime may be crazy by then. And meanwhile, the City County Council is going to try tonight to override the mayor's veto of $6 million from the Rebuild Indiana Fund, or the Rebuild Indy Fund, which all they were doing is putting in bike lanes and cricket fields and other stuff. Maggie Lewis is the president of the City County Council. Madam President, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
This is confusing because at first we were told that 100 police officers would be assigned from desk duty, and people assumed these were desk duty people that were sitting in an office all day, mm-hmm. not out on the street. But when I see patrol officers and sergeants and lieutenants who were neighborhood resource officers under the operation division, who were field training commanders and officers. These are officers who are already out on the street patrolling, so I don't see where the difference is.
Absolutely. You know, this has been a shell game. I feel like they are putting officers in a bag, shaking it up, and then just tossing them out there. And when I heard that they're looking at 90 of the neighborhood resource officers, I thought this is absolutely ridiculous. The folks that are closest to the community, closest to our neighborhoods, and you're taking them away from the community.
And were you given any briefing as to what the Department of Public Safety's plans were, and if you did, what they tell you match what they told the media and the community today?
No, so I did receive a briefing, and I was actually excited about getting that briefing because in the past I found out information from Twitter and Facebook, so I was excited about getting the information in advance. However, the numbers that you just shared and where those officers are coming from, it doesn't quite match up with the notes that I took when I did receive my briefing.
And so you all are proposing, and the mayor disagrees, saying that, and in fact, he's been quoted on Twitter by a reporter from the Indianapolis Star, that we have the officers we can afford. Is the issue that we have to settle for having far less police for the size of our city, or this mayor is not serious about public safety being job one? Because there's people that are still wondering, where are the tens of millions of dollars that were supposed to go to public safety from that income tax increase back in 2007?
Exactly. I think this is about misplaced priorities. You know, if public safety is really job one, then we can use the money for getting more officers out on the street. You know, I think it's bad that we have to pick and choose because the budget is really shrinking. However, what's more important, public safety or that cricket field? We can use that $6 million to make sure that everyone feels safe in their neighborhoods and on the streets.
The Rebuild Indy Fund, is that restricted by ordinance that it can only be used to build things?
It's for infrastructure. It is. However, the council can go back and change that ordinance. We feel like this is a priority. You know, people's safety should really be at the top of our list. And so why can't we go back and change the ordinance and reappropriate those dollars?
Why do you think the mayor is reluctant to do that?
I have absolutely no idea. You know, what's more important, your safety or a field? And I get we want to make Indianapolis a destination and want to encourage folks to come from other communities, other country to our great city. However, if we do not feel safe here, I think it should be a priority.
We're talking with Maggie Lewis, the president of the City County Council, 239-1310. 239-1310's After News with Amos. Yesterday evening on Fox 59, Republican Councilor Christine Scales indicated that she strongly disagrees with the mayor's plan and seems to be inclined to vote to override the mayor's veto tonight. Will any Republicans vote with Democrats to override the veto?
You know, I'm going to encourage and continue to encourage my colleagues from both sides of the aisle to override this veto. I think it's that important. I did have a conversation earlier today with Councilor Scales, and she feels that this should be a priority and that we should put politics aside to ensure that $6 million is available for public safety.
Let's go to the situation. Well, before we go to the situation that happened, on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Young people, seemingly unexpected. It was almost seeming like law enforcement may not have been aware that there would be a bunch of young people, teenagers, unescorted in the downtown area. 16-year-old murdered near the mall entrance at Illinois and Maryland Street. And what's complicating it, a number of young people participated in fights and misbehaviors on the grounds of the State House in front of a number of members of the Indiana legislature. You know, one of them, State Senator Mike Delf, I know that he talked to the mayor and he talked to you.
Yes.
On Friday, how concerned are you that we had a situation where this misbehavior by young people occurred in front of legislators?
You know, it's not a about who they were acting inappropriate in front of. I'm concerned that IMPD did not prepare for youth being downtown. It's the 4th of July. We should have known that we're going to have a large number of youth downtown celebrating the 4th of July. That's my first concern. But then second of all, you know, I think it is eye-opening, and now maybe we'll get some more communication now that our state legislators are seeing what we have been talking about for quite some time now.
239-1310, let me go to the phones, and Daniel. Hi there.
Hello, Amos.
Hi.
Hey, I was curious. I hear you talking about the money, the $6 million for officers, and it was the last part or last year they had that $200 or $20 million they discovered that had been lost or set aside or whatever it was. It was two incidences where they had a significant amount of money.
Now, that was state money.
Okay, well, whatever happened to that?
I know some of that state money was supposed to come to local municipalities. We got some of that. Where did that money go?
We did get some of those dollars, and they went back into the general funds.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it, I assume, is still under a sofa somewhere.
All right, Daniel, good point. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's name. It's one of the things you talked about, maybe there was a lack of anticipation of mm-hmm. young people downtown for the 4th of July. Evidently, the faith-based patrols were not asked to be downtown, which means either A, that the police intelligence did not anticipate or did not, you know, get any indication through social media that there might be some trouble downtown, and two, the faith-based community is concerned that everybody keeps asking them to be like the Marines, mm-hmm. come and rescue everybody without the resources. They held a news conference earlier where they were encouraging the council to unlock and unleash the crime prevention money. What is to stop a council member, whether it's Democrat or Republican, from introducing an ordinance to appropriate some of the crime prevention dollars to specific groups? Is there anything that would hold a council member back from introducing that?
Yeah, crime prevention dollars. Let me explain this a little bit because it continues to be a hot topic. That once a council introduces an ordinance to give the dollars to another agency, then we are out of the process. We just recently gave the dollars to CICF, and so they're going
to be the grant administrators.
And so once we do that, the counselors are out of that process. Counselors are not grant makers. And so in order to keep those dollars free from politics, we felt that it was really important to continue the path of giving the dollars to an outside agency to grant those dollars to non-for-profits and whomever else who wants to apply for those dollars.
The mayor said today in a tweet sent out by John Tuohy of the mm-hmm. Indianapolis Star that he feels the 10-Point Coalition and Young Men Incorporated should be given crime prevention dollars. He doesn't understand why that did not happen. Mm-hmm. The ordinance that the council voted to have CICF, Central Indiana Community Foundation, allocate the grants.
Mm-hmm.
Did the mayor sign that ordinance, or did he let it become law without his signature?
Yeah, the mayor signed off on that ordinance and made it into law, so he knows the process. And
so if he didn't want that to be the process, he could have vetoed that ordinance.
Absolutely, and we know that the mayor is capable of, and he continues to veto several of our proposals. And so if he was really concerned about those specific agencies receiving dollars, he could have vetoed the proposal, or he could write a check out of public safety dollars and ensure that they receive some funding.
Okay, would that require a separate ordinance, or
no,
he can just do that?
He's done it in the past, and so if he really feels that passionate about those agencies, then he can write them a check, or those agencies can apply for the dollars like any other not-for-profit in our community.
So given that the process of the crime prevention grants, realistically, it's going to be September before mm-hmm. those dollars are allocated. If the mayor feels that strongly that the 10-Point Coalition and Young Men Inc. mm-hmm. ought to be provided dollars, you're saying that he could cut a check today.
Mm-hmm.
Could he also get a friendly? I know he's got some counselors he's friends with. Could introduce an ordinance and appropriate dollars from anywhere?
Absolutely, any counselor can introduce a proposal.
He could propose money out of the cable tax or the mm-hmm. cable franchise fee, which goes directly into the city budget.
Yes.
Mayor, if you're listening, why don't you just tap the tap the cable franchise fee. Everybody else has tapped it over the years. You can tap that fee and take, because 10 Point will be here. I'm trying to get them some money today.
And we all recognize that those are very good programs that we have in our community. However, to suggest that the council is keeping them from receiving funding is ridiculous.
So in America, he could cut the check today. He could just pick up the phone and say, Riggs, cut him some money.
Mm-hmm. And he has the controller. They can do that.
Oh, that's the controller that's supposed to be controlling everything.
That's it.
Okay. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon is the name. The other thing as it relates to youth and youth violence. Mm-hmm. Of the 70-some-odd homicides we've already had this year, 45 of the victims were between the ages of 18 to 34. This is from the Indianapolis Star's homicide database. Only 6 were between the ages of 5 and 18 out of the 75. That's less than 10%. Do we also as a community need to understand the difference between teen and youth violence and young adult violence, and that young adult violence is what is driving this murder rate this year?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's time that we come together and really dive into this issue. You know, last year, Representative Crawford sat down with me and discussed a blueprint to end youth violence. I believe it was in Minneapolis that they put a commission together to really take a look at this and pull all the different stakeholders together, health department, public safety, elders in the community together to really take a look at how do they address youth crime in their community. And then also they put resource to this so to ensure that the plan really is implemented. And it may be time for our community to do something like this.
Is it also time, not only for a commission, is it also time there was a gathering of mayors, black and white, at the Essence Festival? On one of the panels of the Essence Festival was the mayor of Atlanta, Birmingham, Alabama, New Orleans, and Cory Booker from Newark. And they talked about, yes, you've got to have law enforcement. Yes, you got to have police on the street. But you've also got to have employment. You've got to have recreational opportunities. And that dealing with the problem of violence and violence by young people and young adults is now become an economic development issue. Do you think this administration understands that? And we're hearing that the mayor is part of some task force or committee that's supposed to be dealing with the problems of urban violence. Have you heard that? And if he is, when is he going to get his act together and start telling this community about it?
You know, I think it's an excellent idea to pull all the various mayors together to talk about youth violence and how to coordinate services, if you will, in an individual community. However, I have not heard that our mayor is involved in anything like that here in our city. And if he is, I would really love to hear about it.
239-1310, 239-1310 with Maggie Lewis, the president of the City County Council. One of the other things that nobody really has a handle on is, are young people in Indianapolis being employed in summer jobs? And you heard, as we were, you know, just before we brought you on, talking about the flat refusal of Indy Parks to answer simple questions as to how many high school students are employed at the city pools. They spent more than 30 days not even giving a response. And when they gave the response, they said, well, you got to talk to HR. We talked to HR. HR says, oh, yeah, we'll get you some answers Wednesday. And it's been now over a week and a half. Just some basic answers in terms of how many high school students are employed by Indy Parks at the pools, how many of them are high school students that live here in Marion County, how many of them are IPS high school students, because they've given as the excuse of not opening a lot of the swimming pools until late. Well, we can't. It's because of lack of students from IPS who are employed. These are relatively simple answers, and it would seem to me if Indy Parks had a great record of hiring high school students, they would have wanted to shout that from the housetops.
You know, Amos, that's a great question, and I'll go back and see if I can get some of those answers. I would think that this, too, would be important to Parks as far as getting our youth employment. You know, we know how important it is to ensure that our babies have something to do during the summer, and this is really important.
Do you know yet whether you got the votes to override?
I have no idea. Like I said, I've spoken to counselors on both sides of the aisles. You know, we have two counselors missing will be missing tonight from the Democrat caucus, and so that's two less votes that we were counting on. So we'll see. Like I said, I'm going to continue to call, text, and encourage them to do so. And with the administration releasing their plan the day of the council meeting, you know.
This was the plan that was supposed to have been released last week.
Exactly, exactly. So I'm questioning the timing of all of this. I think it's to confuse the counselors and it's their way to keep them from voting in favor to override the veto.
How concerned are you? We're coming up on Indiana Black Expo activities. They start on Thursday at the Ecumenical Service and then the bigger activities the following weekend. Should we be concerned? Should the community be concerned?
You know, I think the community should be concerned. And I really don't want to paint a bad picture of Black Expo because I understand sometimes those the crimes and the activities that take place are taking place outside of the events that Black Expo have in place. But I think we should be concerned. I think IMPD should be prepared. I think the faith base should be prepared. And I think Black Expo really should get out and encourage parents to be involved and stay with their children over the next, 14 days of their festivities.
Let me go back to this idea of a commission.
Mm-hmm.
We've been bragging on this program, the last week or so about something we heard about in Memphis called Memphis Gun Down.
Mm-hmm.
And finally got to talk to the chief of staff of the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee today. I can't talk to the chief of staff of the mayor of Indianapolis, but I can get to talk to the chief of staff of the mayor of Memphis, who told me that part of this initiative was another one of those Bloomberg mm-hmm. challenges that challenged cities about innovation, and they did a number of innovative things as well as lean on not just Bloomberg's money, but resources mm-hmm. of businesses and institutions in the city of Memphis. But I was also struck by innovation. This mayor always brags about the innovative things he's done, whether it is the sewer project or trying to buy all electric cars or even the cricket field. When we look at how do we deal with the problems of youth and youth violence, is it time for innovation? And does the mayor now have to show this innovative leadership that he's shown with cricket, with automotive, with the sewer project, where he's going all over the country and the world talking about those three examples of innovation? Is it time for this mayor to show innovative leadership and call some of the innovative minds in this city to deal with this issue?
I'm not sure if it's about being innovative. I think it's just about being a leader. I think we need our mayor to really step out front and make this a priority for the community.
Why do you think he's not?
You know, I have absolutely no idea, and I'm not even going to try to figure it out. But, you know, I think we need our mayor to really just to step out front and take a hold of this issue. You know, people keep saying that the council, that we're just reacting, that may be it. But this is the thing. We were elected by the people. We respond to the people, and we continue to hear that they're not safe in their communities. So we have to respond. The mayor's going to have to respond.
Maggie Lewis is the president of the council, and we want to know what you think about these issues. We're experimenting with new things today. We got an instant poll on our website, praiseindy.com. So if you go to praiseindy.com, click on the AWA instant poll, as opposed to somebody else's instant poll. And we're asking your opinion. Are you fine with the mayor's plan to take 100 existing officers off a desk and put them out on the street? Do you like the council's plan to invest $6 million in hiring more police on the street, that we need more police, not more cricket fields and bike lanes? Do you think the council and the mayor should immediately release the $2 million in community crime prevention grants on those groups that work directly with troubled young people? Do you think the mayor needs to show leadership and appoint a blue ribbon nonpartisan commission to deal with the issue of unescorted youth and youth violence and troublemaking? Well, you don't like any of the proposal and things are okay the way they are, vote. You can vote early. You can vote often. Just go to praiseindy.com. That's praiseindy.com and vote. We'll keep it all open, our instant poll, for the next 24 hours. Let me go to Charles right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Larry.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. One of the things that the youth session, that youth group that I'm associated with, one of the last sessions that we talked to these kids about is that their lack of respect for one another and lack of respect for men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mama's living there at home with this child, and there's a man living there with her that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their father that they're living with. So they hate this man that comes in and out of that house. They don't respect him. They don't respect any man. They don't respect their father who's abandoned them. And then it reflects on every man that these kids meet. They told this in that last session. These boys spoke out and got a good feel for what's wrong with them, why they're so hateful and why they're so mean to one another. It's because of how they feel about men in general. And that's where our problem is at. And that last public safety director told us just before he left, right after the canal shooting, he said to us, this is not a city problem or a political problem. This is a community problem within the African-American community. We need to work on our young black men. We need to sit them down and discuss and describe to them the way that they ought to live and teach them the kind of respect that they ought to have for themselves and one another. And that's where we're having a problem at. We need to set these kids down where that we can talk to them and discuss things with them.
But I think and Charles, I agree with you, but I think one of the bigger problems is the organizations that work with youth in this city, whether they're faith-based or whether they're traditional nonprofits, are all scrambling for funding. The funding is not there. The coordination is not there. I don't even think sometimes the commitment is really there from funders to really fund programs that are really touching the lives of minority kids. And I think that funders in this city don't really realize how many African American kids there are, and that over a third of all youth in this city are African American.
Right.
The organization you're familiar with, you've got funding issues.
Oh, yes.
The traditional youth organizations have funding issues. The faith-based have funding issues. And that's before we get to grassroots folks that have something good in their heart.
Yes.
And so part of, I feel that we need a commission with some of the best minds of this city, is how to provide those resources, not only the dollar resources, but the physical resources to get the business sector to start loosening up and allowing their employees to buy. It really takes some innovation to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And that same group, needs to have youth voices involved. So the big people need to hear what you heard over the weekend.
Right.
From those young people.
Right.
But anyway, you made some good points.
Thank you, Amos.
All right. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. City County Council President Maggie Lewis, thanks very much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.